Hey, guys.
Well, hey, Sean.
Hey, Sean.
What's up?
So, I've noticed something in the news lately that I wanted to run by you.
Okay, what's that?
Well, I've noticed that our senator, Republican Ron Johnson, will say something, and it will get attention, and some people will freak out, and some people will defend him, and it kind of dominates the news cycle.
Right.
Yeah, sure.
But then our senator, Republican Ron Johnson, will say something and it gets attention and some people will freak out and some people will defend him and it kind of dominates a news cycle.
Uh-huh.
Right.
No. But then here's the thing. So then what happens is that our senator, Wisconsin Republican Ron Johnson, will say something that gets attention.
Okay. Sean,
and some people will freak out. And some people will defend him.
Sean, buddy.
What?
We get it.
Ron Johnson, what's your point?
Well, I was just thinking we could talk about Ron Johnson.
Well, I hear he has been saying some things that have made news lately. Let's do it. This is the WPR Politics Podcast. I'm John K. Wilson.
I'm Sean Johnson.
And I'm Laurel White.
This week, Ron Johnson. What's he up to? So, Sean, I'm getting the feeling that you would like to talk about Wisconsin Republican U.S. Senator Ron Johnson and some of the things he's been saying lately and the responses to those things he's been saying. What has he been saying?
Yeah, he says stuff that gets attention, and then some people freak out, and some people defend him. It really dominates a news cycle. Look, we could say a lot of things in this podcast, but you got to admit, that trend is really prevalent in today's Wisconsin politics and news. Like never before. I know Ron Johnson has always said stuff that gets attention, but man, lately, I just know this from having started working on a story about Senator Johnson. The longer you take to finish a story about Senator Johnson, the bigger the story gets because he's busy, man. He's busy. And like, even today, as we record this, we run the risk that he is going to say something else that we haven't included in our podcast.
So I guess what's interesting to me about all of this, aside from each of the individual things that we'll get into in more depth, is just this is kind of Ron Johnson playing out over the last several weeks his new role in Congress, which is very different from what it was, you know, last year or over the past several years, because he has been a prominent member of not just Wisconsin's congressional delegation, but you know, the Senate in general. He was chairing the Homeland Security Committee. He had the power to, you know, call for and oversee these investigations into things like the Postal Service and voting and lots of things. You know, he was making headlines. And when it became clear that Democrats were going to take control of the Senate and he wasn't going to have that chairmanship anymore, I did a story about what that was going to look like for both Senator Johnson and Senator Baldwin, kind of these shifting roles. And one of the political scientists I interviewed, Barry Burden, said, you know, what we're going to see from Ron Johnson is kind of a shift from being, you know, obviously in the party of power and being able to choose and kind of set these debates to being more of an antagonist, being kind of a disruptor, throwing things off and pushing back. And really, that's what we've seen over the past several weeks, right? Are these disruptor moments that is just, I think some might say, getting some attention. Some people are defending him.
Other some people are freaking say, out.
Yeah. Oh, I feel like you finally understand what I was saying. I'm glad. Yeah, what you were describing there, it was like check, check, check. Disruptor, yes. Kind of agitator, check. Like all that stuff is definitely true. And I think we are at this moment in time left with this open question of is Ron Johnson just one of sort of 50 Republican disruptors out there in the Senate? or has he kind of carved out a special spot in that Senate where he's sort of like one of the disruptors in chief? And what does this have to do with that potential third term for Ron Johnson? Because, you know, that seat is up for election in 2022, and he hasn't said what he's going to do, but a lot of people that are watching what he's doing now think it's a pretty overt sign that he is indeed running again.
Before we go there, though, in terms of what it all might mean, can we talk through some of the specific things that he's been saying recently that have been getting him these headlines and attention?
I think we should confine it to post-2020 election because, you know, when Ron Johnson was a committee chair, he led a lot of investigations, which really, they're very, actually quite complicated. There was just like a very large web, you know, I guess big picture.
The Hunter Biden thing.
Yes. I think he was interested in attacking Democrats for how they handled the transition of power from Obama to Trump. So events from, you know, early 2017 were the focus of Ron Johnson before the election. Now that the election is done, he said a few big things, I think. One, he amplified President Trump's false claims that the election was stolen. And I mean, Ron Johnson does kind of, he has this rep of kind of shooting from the hip, to use a political cliche, and he does, but he also doesn't quite go as far as like President Trump, if you really parse his words. But he definitely amplified Trump's claims that the election was stolen. Two, he has kind of minimized, or not minimized, we'll say downplayed a little bit, the severity of the January 6th insurrection of the U.S. Capitol. It's questioned whether it was armed. And then three, kind of along those same lines, he has really sought to portray the insurrection as a product of a small group of individuals, militants, provocateurs. He has thrown into the mix this idea that fake Trump protesters had a role in it. And that's just like lately. Now he's you know, kind of delaying a vote on this big COVID bill using a rarely employed parliamentary tactic to force the clerks of the U.S. Senate to read the whole thing. So you wait a minute and Ron Johnson will be doing something else. That's been his approach lately.
I mean, I think to your question earlier, Sean, about, you know, is Ron Johnson a member of the full Republican team of kind of, you know, antagonists or, you know, the minority pushing back now? Or has he made his own place? Has he kind of made a name for himself and distinguished himself among that group? I would say he kind of has. I mean, Nancy Pelosi called him out specifically about
She called him Don Johnson specifically of Miami Vice fame. So we don't even really know if she was talking about Senator Ron Johnson. It could just be a coincidence.
It seemed like a slight. I think that's one of those like clips where people can hear different things. Did Nancy Pelosi forget his first name? It seemed like she was purposely pretending not to know it. Anyway.
Where were we?
But Pelosi was calling him out on this, the things that he had said about the insurrection at the Capitol. And I think this is really interesting to talk about how he actually sort of lays out his position on these things. Because, Sean, you kind of alluded to it earlier, he doesn't outright say things. He sort of says, he sort of frames it like, well, some people are saying, or yes. he reads an article, or he asks a question. He says, well, some people are asking, was this really an armed insurrection?
Some people have concerns about the election being stolen by billionaires in faulty voting machines. People are saying these things. You know,
I think it's important we ask questions.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah, exactly. But what he does is he like steps right up to that line and sometimes over it too. And definitely leads people to this place through what he's saying. So, I mean, I can tell you this from like parsing his words pretty closely recently for this story. We've talked about the election before, but he had that hearing where he wanted to examine what he called election irregularities. And he gives a forum to, you know, people who were saying the election was stolen. He gives a forum to the president's lawyer from Wisconsin who says 200,000 people voted illegally, doesn't question it. And again, we've said this before, but the president's lawyer doesn't even include that information in his appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court. So this is basically a defeated argument that's given this big stage by Senator Johnson. In the more recent case with the insurrection at this hearing, he has 7 minutes to speak at this joint hearing in the U.S. Senate. And he uses most of his 7 minutes to read a firsthand account from somebody who was in the crowd that day that appeared in the Federalist, a conservative website. And actually, this firsthand account, I read it, you know, I read it. And the thing is, the guy that talks about what he saw, he's kind of in the thick of this crowd that was at the Trump rally that then moved to the Capitol. He's identifying these groups of people that he saw, you know, the provocateurs, the quote, fake Trump protesters. This guy even says in his article, he did not see any quote, fake Trump protesters commit violence that day. Ron Johnson did not include that information when he read it in front of the Senate. He just lumped those groups together and he says, I think these are the people who probably planned this. So and then he bristles, you know, when he talks about people criticizing that move, because he says, I'm just entering this information in the record. I want to talk about it. Well, what do you think about it, Senator? He won't say.
So obviously we can't step too far out onto the rickety limb of speculation here in terms of what is actually in Ron Johnson's head when he's saying these attention-getting, controversial, sometimes, you know, actually inaccurate things. But a lot of the folks you talk to in this story, Sean, political experts, some of whom know Ron Johnson, said that there's almost a performative aspect to this stuff. Like, he's saying these things for a reason.
Yeah, one of the people that I talked to went where we're not going to go, which is to crawl inside the senator's head and tell you what he actually believes. That was A.B. Stoddard. She's an editor and columnist with Real Clear Politics. Interesting tidbit that my editor took out of my story for some reason.
Those editors, they're the worst.
John. But she actually took Ron Johnson and his daughter as guests to a White House correspondence dinner back when those still happened during the Obama years. So this is not somebody who just completely, I'm not saying she's friends with him. She's admits to not having talked with him in a while, but she's not just observing him from afar. And I get the sense that, you know, she used to kind of admire Senator Johnson. She has written, I guess, flattering things about him in the past. And in this case, she said very plainly, I do not believe that he believes this stuff. He's smart enough to know better. You know, so she was willing to go there and say that he's making it up. And why would he do that? She says, because he wants to run for a third term. He wants that Trump endorsement. He wants those Trump voters. And this is what they're asking for. They want somebody who, you know, I want to read this quote, guys. This is quite a quote. They want somebody who's like Trump. They have his qualities, quote, which is to always stay on offense, to always keep fighting, to be confrontational, to own the libs, confront the media, pick fights, and raise hell. That sounds kind of like what Senator Johnson is doing, right? I mean, he's always said stuff, but like, he definitely is more confrontational with media these days. And I feel like the number of fights that he's picking has has gone up. And maybe, you know, maybe it is, Laurel, like kind of a side effect of being in the minority now, where like you're the vocal opposition to everything. But A.B. Stoddard's take is that this is definitely Ron Johnson saying that he wants to run again. And so I included a quote from her in this story saying, yeah, he's running for a third term. But I got to say, everybody I talked to for this story said basically the same thing. Larry Sabato of Sabato's Crystal Ball, you know, the Center for Politics, University of Virginia. He's like, yeah, he's running. He seems like he's running again. Why would he say this stuff if not? Christian Schneider, conservative writer, did a huge profile piece on Ron Johnson back in about the 2010 campaign. She says, why would he be saying this stuff if he's not running again? That is, I'm going to say, that is conventional wisdom now, is that what you're hearing from Ron Johnson is a signal that he's running for a third term.
Which is something that it's probably worth pointing out, that during his 2016 reelection campaign was something he said he wasn't going to do, right? He made very clear, I'm not going to seek reelection again.
Yeah, and I mean, it wasn't kind of a wishy-washy thing there. It was a firm promise.
This will be my last term. I'll never vote my reelection mind because I'll never stand for reelection again. I don't know how many times Senator Feingold's going to run for reelection.
So there's really no doubt there that in October of 2016, Ron Johnson said he wasn't going to run again, although it was at the 2019 Republican state convention. So less than 3 years later, he was already saying, you know, I might run for Senate again. Back then he was saying, I might run for governor. You know, things change.
So if Ron Johnson saying all of these controversial things and making news is a sign that he is looking to run for a third term and he's looking to appeal to the Trump Republican base, I mean, is the idea that that's what will be a winning formula for him in Wisconsin in 2022?
I think maybe, I don't know how many years ago, but there might have been a time where the conventional wisdom was, if you're in a swing state, don't make waves like that, you know? You don't need to do that. You want to appeal to a broader cross-section of people. Don't do what Ron Johnson is doing. I don't think he subscribes to that theory, though. And actually, if you go back to his 2010 campaign, in that profile that Christian Schneider did at the time, he had been this Republican staffer at the Capitol. So it really opened doors for him. He's working for a conservative publication at the time, and he got access to Johnson's people. They told him a lot, and he put it all out there in this article. And one of the things that they told him was that they would hold these intense media sessions where they would try to get him to be a little more cautious, you know? There was stuff he was saying, like BP was in the news at the time because of that huge oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico, and people were attacking BP. And Ron Johnson would like come to their defense a little bit in the name of free market job producers. He would come to their defense in kind of a general sense. And his staff would try to get him to adjust his wording, and he pushed back against them. You know, there was a time when they like had like this 10-hour session getting ready for editorial board sessions and stuff. And then he sits down with the Journal Sentinel editorial board and brings up something they've never heard him say before, which is that, you know, he just totally dismissed man-made global warming and says, you know, it's more likely sunspots are to blame. Just stuff they couldn't prepare for. And the way that Schneider describes it, it was kind of driving them nuts behind the scenes. But he won, you know? It was successful in 2010. And so the way that he views it is that Johnson learned that lesson, that he should trust his political gut, and not listen to what the pros are saying. And that right now his gut is saying, be as Trumpy, as Christian's word, as possible.
So not to be too complainy, but it's currently March of 2021, and it feels like we just had an election, but here we are talking about the midterm elections already, and Ron Johnson's, you know, potential plans for that. And he hasn't said whether or not he's running, but I guess, is it too early for us to be talking about this? Clearly not, because we're talking about it.
I mean, in our defense, we are a politics podcast, so.
Yeah, it's like my heart says no, but my head says yes. Like, I apologize on behalf of all of us that we're talking about the next election. I know everyone is still like, we're over that as a people, and not talking about that for a while. I think most folks would be in favor of, but that's not the world that we live in here in the politics realm. So, you know, I think a lot of people would say it's not too early for us to start expecting an announcement from Senator Johnson about whether he's going to run or not. We know that we've got a Democratic field already taking shape, you know, to oppose him or whoever it is that wins the Republican nomination. We've got Tom Nelson, Outagamie County Executive Tom Nelson. He's been announced for a while now. He's been out there and kind of campaigning. There's, you know, some potential candidates. There's another announced candidate is Alex Lazary from the Milwaukee Bucks, an executive there, a young guy. And then the potential folks that are kind of being batted around as maybes are State Treasurer Sarah Godlewski, and just new this week, actually, got the news that Representative Ron Kind might be considering it. So I feel like that's kind of isn't that sort of a perennial thing in Wisconsin politics,
oh, yeah.
Sean?
Yeah.
Like Ron Kind may be running for something.
It's a statewide election. So, Ron Kind, he never says no,
yeah.
Like right away.
Well,
you know,
me?
I'm thinking about it. And then the answer always does end up being no. But man, I've been doing that story for a long time, I feel like.
Maybe this is the year. Maybe this is the year.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, I think so. I get the impression that this is a sooner rather than later thing to kind of get the wheels in motion and get that campaign machine going. Because, you know, by the time we hit 2022, it's, you know, my gosh, that's... We're like barely into 2021, but really, once you hit the year of the election itself, it's like things are so far along by that point.
And I think it's worth mentioning. So Ron Johnson keeps saying there's plenty of time, actually, because he hasn't formally declared yet, and he might not run. It could be that all these things are indeed him signaling that he is going to seek a third term. It could be that he is securing that right flank while he gives himself time to think. We don't know for sure, but in Johnson's case, he may indeed think, yeah, I have time, because in 2010, if that's where he learned his political lessons, he came into the race very late. Like, he announced right before the state Republican convention in 2010, and you know, basically swept the field, and it worked for him, you know? So in his mind, maybe he does have a lot of time to decide, because it worked okay 11 years ago.
Plus, like, if you're the sitting incumbent senator for your party, it's not like there's going to be a whole lot of upstart challengers coming for you necessarily. I mean, you could get primaried, I suppose, and maybe that's why he's, like you said, securing that right flank.
You could.
But generally speaking, you have more breathing room, I think.
I mean, in other states, we read about incumbent Republicans in other states being primaried. But just do a thought exercise right now. And can you imagine Senator Johnson getting a primary challenge from the right in Wisconsin? I think it's a little hard for me to imagine that. It could happen, but it seems unlikely.
I think it'll be interesting to see, you know, if he runs again, how the election plays out, because, and this is something that was pointed out in your story too, Sean, which is that he would be the only incumbent Republican defending a seat in a state that Joe Biden won in the presidential election. So it's even though we know what the trends of midterm elections typically are and that they favor the party that isn't the president's party, you know, the political dynamics of Wisconsin. Don't know if you've all heard, but we're kind of a, what's, you know, the mix of red and blue? I don't know. A state that's a mix of the colors of red and blue.
I believe that would be mauve. Mauve?
That's right.
The political saying, we are a mauve state.
Aubergine.
Yes.
I thought you were searching for the word like administrative or business record keeping there.
Yes, exactly. Office type things.
You'd have to listen to last week's podcast, guys.
So. Yeah.
It's not funny at all if you didn't. Sorry.
Well, Sean, have we thoroughly talked about Ron Johnson and the things he's been saying and the reaction that he's been getting lately?
Actually, John, he has a press conference, which is pretty rare for him to do, with Wisconsin media. He has a media availability coming up here in like 10 minutes. So I'm going to throw it to future John here, just in case the senator's news cycle repeats itself and there's something else that we need to talk about, right? So,
yeah.
Is that okay? Future John, did Senator Johnson say anything today that we need to include in this podcast?
From the future, I'm Future John. Wisconsin U.S. Senator Ron Johnson told reporters Friday that Republicans plan to offer hundreds of amendments to President Joe Biden's COVID-19 stimulus plan in an effort to cut costs. He also said he still hasn't made up his mind on whether to seek a third term in the Senate, and the only people who want him to decide now are campaign consultants. I could tell you more about the future, but where's the fun in that? Now back to Sean, John, and Laurel in the very recent past.
Whoa, that is quite something. Wow.
Yeah, next week on the podcast.
next week, we'll have to discuss that more because I got a feeling that's going to make some people freak out, but some people are going to defend him. Probably going to dominate a news cycle.
Well, Sean Johnson, no relation to Wisconsin Republican U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, is WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief.
Laurel White is WPR's Capitol Reporter.
And John K. Wilson is our resident politics nerd.
If you're looking to stay up to date on Wisconsin politicians and what they say, and what they say after that, and after that, well, it sounds like you could stand to get new episodes of the WPR Politics Podcast delivered to you almost every single week. And you can make that happen when you subscribe to the show. It's available on Apple Podcasts, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, and many other podcast apps. While you're there, leave a rating or review to help other people find the show. And you can listen to all of our past episodes where we have said a lot of things anytime at wpr.org/politicspodcast.